Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning. Hey. Hey, guys. What's going on? How are you guys doing? Good. Awesome. Great. Hey, we got a live stream joining us as well. And Metro's in the house. What's up? Make some noise for them if you don't mind. What's up, Metro? So, you know what's great about this morning is we got baptisms happening at both campuses. So, we're baptizing people at Metro as well. And what's great about this environment like that is we get to actually witness and be here to support people who are making this defining moment, this defining decision in their lives. But also, it always happens that there are people, and it might be one of you, maybe someone in Metro, thinking, you know what, I didn't plan on getting baptized, and you just might get baptized. And I'll tell you what, I want you to lean into that, because the reason why is because it happened to me. Like, I went to a baptismal deal, and I was like, I'm not getting baptized. I'm good. And I didn't want to get baptized. And then I'm like, you know what? I should get baptized. But I didn't have any clothes, you know, to change in or anything. And I just went in full like this, you know, like full on. So at Mosaic, we take care of you. So we got change of clothes for you. We got shirts, shorts. We have undergarments as well. Fruit of the loom, I hear. Yes. Men, it's briefs, not boxers, just so you know. I know Metro men are interested in that. I don't know why. But anyways, I'm joking. I don't know why. I love you guys. Anyway, so, but we're prepared for you. So if you feel leaning into, if you feel like God's kind of telling you to do something like that, you might want to just possibly lean into that because it might change your life. In fact, we're going to tell a story at the end of this service that actually points to that very fact. And so if you're a guest here, glad you're here. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the last part of our series, which is how can I believe when God allows evil things, suffering, allows grief in my life. And so we've been having that conversation. So this morning I want to talk about doubt and then talk about why baptism is so connected to as an action step towards that. But this week, ironically, I got a phone call. And I don't know if you have an iPhone or not, but my iPhone like sometimes tells me who the person is. Like as in, every phone does that? No. It tells me telemarketer. Have you ever gotten that? It says telemarketer. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then, but this time it had a number and it said from Iraq. Iraq. Don't run away. Calm down. No, it was from actually another country, an Arab country called Qatar, as Americans know it. Okay, anyways. But so I know the country, but I was like, who do I know in Qatar? And who crank calls you from Qatar? Right? It didn't say telemarketer from Qatar, maybe. You know what I'm saying? It didn't say that. So I answered, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm like, I didn't know if to say hello or assalamu alaikum. You know, I didn't know what to say. So I was like, hey. And the guy started talking, and it was a friend of mine. He had just moved to Qatar, and so he's moving there. And anyways, we start talking, and this guy, when he calls me, most of the time, I'm just going to tell you honestly, sometimes when he calls me, he's a little too happy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, hey, bro. So how are we doing? Are you good? And then I just said it. I was like, are you drunk? And he was like, no, man. And he was like, I'm getting there. I was like, great. Yeah. Just so you guys know, I mean, I don't have pastor friends. I have real friends. Yeah, I'm real people. And so we start talking, and he's not that drunk. And so I'm like, hey, what's going on? And we start catching up, and then he goes, hey, by the way, man, and some stuff has happened in his life, and he goes, listen, let me just ask you, pastor. And I was like, you just threw in pastor? Like, I'm your buddy. Like, And he's like, Pastor, let me ask you, how do you believe in a God? And then he just started asking me all these like really hard questions, you know? And it always comes down to it, doesn't it? When it comes to our faith, we stop at things are happening in our life, and I just don't understand. And when he said this, he said, let me ask you this. He said, I'm not quite sure. How do I believe in a guy? You know, how do I believe in this God who does this? And he personalizes it. And what's interesting about that, if you notice, like when it comes down to like really hard things in our life, we move from this idea of theology or move from a belief system or a tradition to a very personal question. How can you, God? So all of a sudden it becomes an entity. But then as we move in our faith, we move past that and move towards this culture or a tradition or institutionalizing some kind of theology and religion or denominations. And we put our faith in that. But when it comes to hard stuff, we actually go, well, why did you allow this? It's like very, very personal. Which I think is very interesting, and it reveals this tension that we have. That when it comes to seriously having doubts about God, and you might be in this spot, by the way, you might be in a place where you're like, you know what, I'm not quite sure if I believe everything I used to. Like, I think for some of us, we've grown up a little bit, or things have happened, we're like, you know, I'm not quite sure I believe what I used to believe. I'm not quite sure about that. I mean, this one guy told me recently, he was like, you know what, I'm not quite sure if I believe in the Bible anymore. I just, because they don't line up. It doesn't line up. Life doesn't line up. I just don't believe. And I asked him that. I said, could it be possible that maybe you don't believe in the interpretation of the Bible that you know? Like maybe you've lost your faith in not just the Bible, not the Bible, but maybe the interpretation, your interpretation of it or what you grew up with. So let's just understand that a little bit. But it always comes down to very personal thing when it comes to this idea of why did you allow something to happen? And we have serious doubts. Do you have doubts? What does God say to that? What does the scriptures talk about that? And I want you to understand something, that for so many of us, we've grown up in a religious system. I grew up in a very different one in the Middle East, but you grew up possibly, majority I would say, maybe in a Western religion, maybe some of you guys in an Eastern religion. I know we've got some people here as well from different backgrounds. And so regardless, we are raised in and we are in the flood of and the wave of and the tide of all this religion that seems to have routine and rituals and confessions and theology. But it doesn't sometimes answer the deepest questions of our hearts. And so when Jesus comes in, I believe he's a very different person. And when he talks about this relationship with God or being spiritual, he just throws out the book, basically, and he redefines it. And I want you to see that, and maybe it'll give you some little bit of hope on this idea of what really have you lost? Like, have you lost faith or do you doubt? And who do you really doubt? So let's jump in. We'll just go to the scriptures here. I'm going to take you to three passages, two of them in the New Testament. So the first one is in Mark. Can you say Mark? Mark 9. Mark 9, yes, okay. Two people did. That's awesome. That's good. It's good. It's good. Okay, so Mark 9, it starts off and with, before I read it though, let me give the context. Jesus is interrupting a conversation, which is rare for Jesus. Usually people come to him, but this time he's interrupting. So there's a crowd that's doing some things. It's his disciples. And a guy has brought his son to be healed, but the disciples can't heal him. So Jesus comes in to the conversation and says, what's going on? What's going on? And so this is where we pick it up, which is very different for Jesus. So he talks to the dad and he goes, he says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire and into water, trying to kill him. He says, have mercy on us and help us and help us. So he tells him what's going on. And it seems like it's a demonic, oppression. Not sure what's going on here, but either way, it's serious. But the dad, if you notice here, he says, have mercy on us and help us. And then he says this, if you can. And Jesus asked, and I love this, what do you mean? What do you mean what? If I can. Like all of a sudden Jesus is like, excuse me? Like what? Like have you ever had someone doubt you? Over the one thing you can actually do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean I can't eat? Like, what? Like, what do you mean? You're like if you know, if you love cooking and someone doubts your cooking abilities, you're like, what do you mean? Like, all of a sudden you take it personally. It's like Jesus, like, I got this. Are you serious right now, bro? Like, what do you mean if I can? Shoot, I didn't even need to come here. Okay, I could have dreamt about it. Like, I got, like, what if I can? And then he says, anything is possible if a person believes, which we have heard that before, right? Have you ever heard the phrase, like, if you believe it, you can achieve it. We can do it. Now, all of that is taken out of context because Jesus is not making a blanket statement about belief and the power of it. He's talking about who? Himself. So understand this. He's saying, you're doubting me? And then he goes, and the Father instantly cried out. He was, and somehow the Father understood what Jesus was saying. For so many of us, this gets lost in translation. See, we think he's talking about a concept. No. The Father cries out and he goes, oh, I do believe. I do believe. What is he talking about? I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in being a Baptist. I do believe in being born again. I do. What do I believe? He's like, I do believe in who? Who? You. He's basically saying, I do believe, but help me overcome my what? Unbelief. He's basically saying, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know how you're going to do this. Because the other guys tried. I don't know. But I believe in who? You. You see, fundamentally, the scriptures, especially the Jesus stories, point to this big idea that humanity needs more than a set of promises or principles to believe in or a theology. They need an actual person. That's why some of us just trust ourselves. Because the human condition is wired up in a certain way that we need certain things. Faith, hope, love. We've heard that, right? Those are the essentials for humanity. We cannot live without them. Even if they're distorted. We cannot live without love. We cannot live without hope. We cannot exist without faith. And some people just choose to believe in themselves. And so if you don't believe this story, check out the other one in John chapter 11. This is Jesus having a conversation with Martha. And everybody, you might know, Martha and Mary had a brother named, anybody know? Lazarus, who died. And the reason why he died is obviously he was sick, but he died in particular, in a sense, I guess, technically, because Jesus could have showed up to heal him, but Jesus let him die. And that's the conversation that Martha has with him. So Jesus is on his way. He's late 4 days. She meets him halfway and goes, what are you doing? Why? What did you get here? He's dead. We have what? Buried him. And that's where you get the whole story of Lazarus come out, right? He's been buried. But there's a statement. There's a question that Jesus asked Martha. And so this is where you pick it up. This is verse 25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, in who? In me, will live, even after dying. Anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? What is Jesus saying? What is he asking? Hey, he's not asking about theology. He's not asking about Jewish tradition. He's not asking about all the messianic texts. He's not talking about the Torah. He's not talking about, do you believe? No. He's like, do you believe I can actually do this? He's not even asking about that. He's saying, do you believe in me? And so what's lost in translation is, and what it should actually say is, not do you believe in this, Martha? He's saying, do you believe this about me? Jesus takes it very personal. Do you believe me? That's why in some stories, people are about to die, the boat's going to sink, and Jesus is taking a nap, and he gets up, and he's like, what's wrong with you guys? They're like, we're going to die. And he's like, seriously? Like, I'm in the boat. Why are we going to die? Like, I'm here. Like, why? Peter walks on water, right? And he picks him up. He goes, why did you doubt? Why is he saying? Why did you doubt that you didn't believe in theology or believe it? No. He said, he was scared for his life and he was sinking. He was saying, are you serious right now? You walked all this way. You got here and you think I'm just going to watch you drown. That's what he's saying. All the stories of Jesus are very personal when it comes to faith. But we have taken it to extreme or an idea of like, no, faith, tradition, big idea. And Jesus always makes it very, very personal. Even in the Old Testament, this dilemma or this dynamic works and has worked, and the scriptures have made a point to show us. For example, Jonathan is the son of the first king. Anybody know who the first king was? Anybody? Saul. Yes, thank you, Metro. Okay, so Saul. He was the first king, but he was kind of like, you know, he has his own agenda. But Jonathan was the guy who was really passionate. And at one point, they're fighting against these Philistines. And Jonathan has a great idea that he believes that if he does something in particular, he can actually win the victory and not have to, you know, go to war or shed a lot of blood. And so he has this idea, and he doesn't want to tell his dad because his dad's going to poo-poo the idea. So he's like, you know what, we're going to do this. So he convinces one of his guys, his armor bearer, to go with him. And let me just tell you how he convinces him, okay? So he starts off, he goes here, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. So it starts off good. Okay, just imagine if you're trying to, motivate someone to join your team, right? You want to trash the enemy, number one. You want to trash the competition. Hey, we got this. We got this. Let's go show them how it's done. Right? That's how you do it. The vision statement is like, we're going to conquer the world. We're going to be best in the world. Where our product is going to rule the competition. Blah, 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 blah. You overpromise. I don't know if you know this, but that's number one in motivating people, right? You go, we're going to do this. You got this, right? If you want to motivate someone, they're about to do something. What do you say? You sort of got this? No. You got this. So here, Jonathan goes to his armor bearer and says, hey, let's go over to those uncircumcised. Why do you have to bring that up? Anyways, regardless. Anywho, I'm just saying they're not even real men. You know, like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Okay. And then he says this word. Perhaps. Some translations, maybe. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few, us too. Like, that's it. Now, if I was listening to Jonathan, I'd be like, what? I'm sorry, would you say perhaps? What is that? You mean you don't know? No, I don't know. I think so. I think there's a chance that God's going to show up. 50-50. We'll find out, though, either way. We'll find out. And if it doesn't go well, we'll be able to ask him in person because we will be with him. Like, if you're going to ask someone to risk it all for you, you don't want to go with perhaps. I don't know. Invest in your money. I'm not quite sure if it's going to work out. You want, like, the whole, like, God told me. You want, like if you're going to, let me just tell you, if you are taking notes, just so you know, okay, everybody, live stream, Metro, everybody. If you want me to risk my life, lie to me. Just go ahead and lie to me. Okay, tell me it's all going to work out. I don't even want to know the truth then, because I'm not going if you don't. And it better be a good lie too. You know what I'm saying? It's better be like, it's got to be motivating me all the way. Don't say, perhaps the Lord. Then I'm like, perhaps we're not going to go. Perhaps you go alone. Perhaps I stay here, I watch for the Lord. Perhaps I pray and fast, you go and do. Perhaps you die, I'm good. There's a whole lot of perhaps. But this guy, what does he do? This is his answer. He says, go ahead. I am with you, what? Heart and soul. He's like, I don't even understand if this is going to work. All I know is I trust you. I wonder if that is the message of Jesus. You don't need to have faith that it's all going to work out. Because for some of you, faith right now based on your circumstance is not even an option for you. And you know it. You're like, dude, don't even talk to me about that. And there are people in your life, you're like, you know what? Don't. There's so many things have happened. I'm like, don't ask me to believe again. Don't ask me. And you know people who have lost their faith. Don't ask me to believe. Don't ask me to believe. Because of all kinds of things. All kinds of things. So here's what you got to do. You have to choose to trust when faith is no longer an option. You have to choose to trust when faith is no longer an option. You have to choose to trust in Him, in the person of Jesus, when you have lost all faith that this healing, this marriage, this career, this life, this addiction, this tragedy is ever going to turn around. And I'm not quite sure, friends, if God expects us to believe that everything is going to be amazing. I think He wants us to believe that He is just faithful, that you can trust Him. See, that's the biggest difference between all the other religious leaders who've tried to inspire humanity. It's like, hey, believe in this and believe in that and believe in this philosophy. Jesus is the only guy who's like, no, I need you to believe in me. It's me. It's me. And this self-centered trust got him message, got him killed. It's like me. Your faith rests on tradition? No. On scriptures? No. Because Jewish people are like, he is coming against all the scriptures that are holy. He's blaspheming. He's like, your faith, your connection to God needs to rest on me. I'm asking you to believe in me. I'm asking you to trust me. Not in the situation, not in your own ability, not in people's promises, not in any principles. Me. I'll supersede all natural principles. I'll do incredible things you don't even understand. Things will happen. Things won't happen. I'm just telling you. But it all comes down to you got to trust what? Me. And you got to do something to trust me. And sometimes for us, what do I do? What do I do to trust? And see, I believe that it's connected to what you do afterwards. So when you go, I trust you, Jesus. Okay, if I trust you, then what do you need to do? Because this idea of knowing God more is connected to not just trusting, but actually understanding that you have to do something to know God more. So there's a podcast I listen to here and there. It's Sam Harris. If you don't know him, he's a renowned atheist, and he's a super smart guy. But he has some just profound thoughts. Obviously, his goal is to get rid of all faiths, you know, and he does not believe in God at all. And he has podcasts about it again and again. But he is fascinating, I got to tell you. And so he was interviewing this very smart person, Barbara Trisky, and she does her focus is about this idea of learning and how motion is connected to learning and how space and time and motion and the mind is all connected. Guys, I listened to a podcast. I was like, I am the dumbest person in the world. I don't even know what they're talking about right now. Okay. But it was one of the interesting things about that, though, was this, is that the connection of motion to knowing or learning. And so have you ever met someone who talks with their hand? Have you ever seen someone who talks with their hand? Me. I just said me. Right? We have people who do that, right? We do. Like, I think for some of us, if you told me to talk to you or to say something, and I had to sit here, and I had to sit on my hands, I don't think I could say anything. I don't think I could do that. Because there's certain human, we're all, motion and movement is connected to learning. Have you ever told someone or given someone directions, right? Like, you need to take the first, and you actually draw it out. You're like, da, 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 you got to go there, here, do this. And you're like, yeah. Or in your mind, you also move around and go, yeah, yeah, oh, okay. And you visualize, don't you? Left, right, next corner, oh, okay. We move around all the time. And there are people who talk, like Lauren Jones, who leads us in worship, right? Who leads our worship. I don't know if you know her. It'd be great to know her, by the way. Because when she talks in meetings, she's like, let me just tell you. I was like, I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm using that. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I love it. I don't know what it is. Do you know blind people, emotion and gesture? to learn, to understand. For some reason, your body or your being is connected to this idea of like, I've got to move to actually know and understand or to communicate. I need to move. See, trust is connected to movement. So what that means is if you want to know God, you actually have to move. And for some of us, we don't want to move at all, and you want to know God. And so if you want to move from leaving faith alone and actually trusting God, you actually have to do something that you know that He's asking you to do. And for some of you, it is full on getting baptized today. For others of you, it's something else. It's something else. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's something else. It's going, okay. Because God wants you to trust Him. No, not just faith, but trust Him. And as long as you live in the faith arena, you don't have this relationship with God. You don't have this deep relationship with God. And as long as you go, I trust Him, but we don't do anything. Our physical body does not react. We are never going to know and understand, which means simply this idea of hearing God say something and going, okay, I'm going to do this. So allowing what your soul has heard to, and allowing your body to translate that into action. And see, for some of us, we have to either let go, or we got to take a risk, or we got to do all kinds of things. And you know this, and I don't want to get into details of that, but you know, you got to actually move. If you say, I'm going to trust you, then you have to do something. And what that is. So in the middle of your doubt, in the middle of all going, I don't even know if this is ever going to work out. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But do you trust Him? Have you ever trusted Him? For some of us, we've been Christians, quote unquote, our whole lives, but you've never trusted Jesus. You don't even know Him. And I hate it to tell you this, but you don't. And you know, and I know this. Because we know faith, and we know a belief, and we know Bible, and we know church, and we know worship songs, but you don't know Him. So when it comes to deep things in your life, you never go, what are you doing right now? And you're talking to a person. And see, when people ask me this, you know, so what about other religions? Since you've already switched one religion, could it be a chance you'll switch again? I was like, I see what you're doing there. Okay, I get that. But here's the problem. I didn't switch religions. I met a dude. So I can't unmeet him. That's the problem. So I got to break the relationship to now go believe in something else. But I know, I didn't go from one belief to another. I went to belief to a person. All the things that you think make up Christianity could all be a lie. Okay? And I'll still believe. I will. Because I met Him. Because my faith rests on Jesus. Nothing else. It's only Him. It's only Him. So when God says, trust me, He goes, hey, this is eternal life. Jesus said it. To believe in the one He sent. That's it. So in the middle of your situation, trust. But trust requires movement. And you have to move and align your life, which I did, to that relationship. And so what does it look like for you? I want to show you a story of a person who believed that the next, the act of trust for him, the act of moving, was actually getting baptized. He didn't plan on getting baptized, but let's watch this story.
I'm Christian, from Charleston, South Carolina, originally. And growing up, I was one of four children, so family of six. We didn't really grow up going to church, but we'd go on like Christmas and Easter. So I really didn't get into reading the Bible or spirituality until college, which is where I first started reading and learning who Jesus was, and I finally came to Christ at one of our Sunday services that we had on campus. After undergrad, one of my college friends was still lingering around in Charleston, Carly, and so we started hanging out. We had our friend group and started going to Seacoast Church. That was very helpful for me because I did struggle a lot with what am I doing with my life? What's my purpose? Where should I be? Who am I? All those sort of questions. And so that community was very helpful. And eventually, Carly and I realized, hey, we should be dating. So we started dating and seeing each other, and we decided we were going to move up to Charlotte. Carly and I were both going through a lot of difficult life challenges. My father had gotten sick, ended up passing away. Her grandfather, which was her father figure and the only grandfather I knew, started going downhill, and he had passed away. And one of my good childhood friends, whose dad coached our soccer teams growing up and all that, he had also gotten sick with cancer, and he had passed away. So it was a lot of very important people in our lives had all passed away in a short time. And I think one thing that was difficult for me in particular and my wife to deal with was that grief and not having the same community that we used to have. Even though we did have great people in our lives, we didn't have the stability of a solid church family. We had known of Mosaic, but it really wasn't until we had heard that they were starting the Metro campus that we became excited, because it was much closer to our community here in Charlotte. And when we got that, we started coming, and we've been coming to the Metro campus ever since, and have gotten involved with the church and men's groups, women's groups, and it's just been a very wonderful experience to have that again. With the recent struggles in our lives and the grief, I think it really opened me up to a lot of pain and insecurity and a lot of things that I had there that I probably hadn't dealt with. And it really led to almost a breaking point for me in my life. And I'd gotten an email, I don't know if it was from our men's group or from the church directly, but they had mentioned they were going to do baptisms. And I remember seeing that email and thinking, maybe I should sign up. Maybe I need to get baptized. Because it had been a thought of mine throughout most of my walk with Christ. But I kind of pushed it off. I didn't think that I should. I didn't think it was theologically correct, or maybe I'm just doing it for my own comfort. I had no idea. But then I come to service that Sunday, and they make the announcements in the beginning of the service that they're going to do the baptisms, and I felt like God broke me. And so I grabbed a couple close friends from men's group. They knew how I was currently feeling just in that stage of life from men's group and sharing with them and caring for me. But, you know, they helped talk with me and pray with me. And then I decided we need to call my wife, Carly. She happened to be out of town that week. And so we did, and we FaceTimed, and she was very supportive and loving and encouraged me that, yes, I think maybe this is something God's calling you to do. And then not long after, Kristen and I share a little bit of my story, and there's a prayer and a dunk, and you come up and just felt relieved, you know. I felt like I did lay something down. I didn't feel like this was a mistake. This was something I felt like I was called to do that day. And for somebody who second guesses everything, I didn't feel that way. I felt relief. I felt like this is where I should be.
Man, what a great story, huh? Let's give it up for Christian. Can we do that? It's amazing. Christian, I know you're at Metro, and so proud of you. So proud of that campus and just the community that you got there. Can we all stand? Let's stand together, all of us. And so what we want to do this moment is I want to pray for you. So wherever campus you're at, you know, is God saying something to you? Could this be a day that maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. And so, you know, I know it's so interesting to me how so many people who go to church but never met Jesus. And so often we take our faith that is a child like faith, and it's actually a childish faith because we never really make a decision as an adult. And I know that just looking around and just knowing some of our community at Mosaic, there's so many people who've made adult decisions for an adult faith because you're not trusting in like that Jesus, the Christmas story. You are trusting in the person of Jesus. So I want to pray for you. And again, if you are one of those people who are like, I want to get baptized, I want to do it. And if you've been like nudging someone and going, I think I need to. Here's what we're going to do. I want to pray for you. And on both campuses, you can walk out just back. So the Metro, you can walk straight back there and they'll help you with change of clothes. And or here, you can walk in that door right there and we'll help you out as well. We'll sing a song and we'll come back and we'll baptize you. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for this morning, this moment. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives. Jesus, I thank you that in the midst of all the faithlessness of my life, all the doubt and all the worry and all the anxiety and all the stress that I bring to the table, you bring yourself. And so God, I thank you that the pressure of wanting and needing to feel or believe that everything is going to work out and everything's going to be great, you take that away. And God, I thank you that you've said, come to me when you're burdened with all kinds of things. And for some of us, having faith is a burden because all we have is doubt. And God, I thank you that you're the God who says, bring me your doubt. Just bring everything. And so God, I thank you that you're the God who says, I am okay with that. You can trust me. So God, I pray that today, whoever is listening to this, every campus, live stream, even a recorded message after that, week later, regardless, in this moment, regardless of space or time, that we would be convinced that your love is chasing us down. And that we would say this, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you heart and soul. I don't know all the things. I don't know how things are going to work out. I just don't know. I'm not even sure if I believe in all the things. But all I'm doing in this moment is I'm saying, Jesus, I trust you. I choose to trust you. Will you help me in my unbelief? God, I pray that you would use this moment, speak to us, speak to people who are going to choose to decide to move so they can know. They're going to be prompted to get baptized, to say that I'm doing this as the first sign of trusting you. I'm going to choose to be baptized. Choosing to just let everyone know of a relationship I'm getting into right now. God, sometimes I think that it's basically surrendering. The baptism is simply surrendering to your grace and your love. And so here's what we do. We surrender to you. God, we love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.